Welcome to the Live Beautifully podcast. I'm Katrina Scott. I'm a mom, a passionate female founder, and a creative brand builder. In the last 15 years, I've been everything from a personal trainer to a Forbes featured entrepreneur, a New York Times bestselling author, and the co-founder of the leading fitness empire, Tone It Up. And with that comes CEO, late night copywriter, creative director, social media expert, and of course, the most important job to inspire creativity, an office intern running out for coffee and donuts for the dream team. I'm humbled and so grateful for my journey so far, and I can't wait to write new chapters with all of you. Creativity, success, and making your dreams come to life takes passion, commitment, and a deep, deep love. And love is fostered and grown through deep connections and purpose. And we're going to do just that together. From personal life stories to thoughtful conversations with the most inspiring guests, and Ask Me Anything episodes, my hope is this show will ignite your creative brilliance so you can flourish and live beautifully. Today's episode is a special one. I got to sit down with Sophia Amoroso. I never imagined those words to ever come out of my mouth. Sophia is someone I've looked up to for the past decade of my career. The first time I ever spoke with her was over FaceTime, over coffee, and I was personally going through a lot of hardship. I explained to her how I was feeling at that point in my life, and she has this no BS way of telling you that it's all good, that you can do whatever you set your mind to, and that you deserve happiness above everything else. Don't let anyone ever take that away from you. You're never stuck. You can always start again, and it will bring you greater joy and fulfillment. Sophia started Nasty Gal, a vintage clothing eBay store, in 2006 out of her car and built it into a $100 million e-commerce business. She made young women believe in themselves because she was able to build something that had never been done before. She was underestimated and pushed aside many times in her career, but always found a way to come out on top. After being featured on the cover of Forbes and named one of America's richest self-made women, she took on investment and faced a lot of growth challenges, and then her company filed bankruptcy. She overcame a lot of adversity and persevered through tough times and then rose again and again. Next, she built Girl Boss, a community for women to build their career of their dreams. She paved the way for young female entrepreneurs and shares her experiences and mistakes so we can all learn from them. She recently sold and left Girl Boss to start her next chapter, and I was able to do this amazing interview while she was in between Girl Boss and launching her new brand, Business Class, where she truly pays it forward by teaching everything that she's learned in a business course. Recording this in-between moment for entrepreneurs is so rare and amazing. Most entrepreneurs don't do interviews between jobs because they feel like they have nothing to say. But Sophia wanted to connect because so many of us are in this in-between time before our next chapter. We're just on the brink of something new and something amazing. This is the vulnerable, soft, completely intentional time that you can catch an entrepreneur in their creative brilliance. So without further ado, let's get the Sophia party started. I am so excited to have you here. I know that we've spoken a few times before, and I want you to know that I've looked to you for so much guidance and inspiration when I have fallen completely on my face at so many points in my career. And I've looked to you as someone who has done the unthinkable. You've been underestimated and you've risen, and I just want to thank you because you're a huge inspiration to me, and I feel like, okay, I can do this because she has done this. So thank you so much for being here. The Live Beautifully podcast and living beautifully has so much to do with all aspects of our life. So we're going to talk through a lot of exciting things today.
Cool. Yay. I'm excited. And congratulations on your podcast.
Thanks. Were you so nervous when you first started?
I'm so nervous. I mean, I'm nervous even now.
Don't be nervous with me.
Girl Boss Radio was always like edited because I just like mess up and I get nervous. And, you know, it's a lot of different. It was 5 years of a podcast, so it's hard to know everything about everyone. So it's always just like a little intimidating, making sure that I know people's stories and that I'm asking the right questions. And, you know, it's a talent to get the right things out of people and also to get the right things for your listeners. There's a bit of an art, but we did an IG live and you're really good at this.
Thanks. I feel like you're so cute and you always give anyone listening or tuning in exactly what they're looking for. You always know the right thing to say because you do speak from your heart. You, of all people, you would never bullshit. you step out and you say exactly what you feel. And so even if sometimes you're like, oh gosh, was that the right thing? Or is that what people wanted? But it's you. And that's what everyone needs right now.
Thank you.
Of course. So today we were talking about creative brilliance, and you have worked with the most amazing women in the entire world, and you've spoken with them and you've done conferences with everyone. How would you define creative brilliance in female founders?
I've met so many incredible founders along the way, and so they're creative in so many different ways. You know, creativity is something people think means photography or design. You can be a creative at business. You can be a creative at marketing. You can be a creative, obviously, visually, but it's someone who borrows from a variety of places. So someone who is kind of connecting radically different things, and that can be interior design and, you know, architecture for your fashion business, right? I think creatively brilliant founders are people who are looking outside of their individual marketplaces for inspiration and maybe observing or learning things from their competitors or those that inspire them, but always bringing their own personal spin to it and are ultimately listening to their audience, right? You can be creative and you can make the brand of your dreams, but if it doesn't connect with anybody, it doesn't really matter. So creativity also means listening. That's something I feel like you've done an amazing job of, building community. And so creativity should always be informed by the customer, the community, the user, whatever you want to call them. And so there's the like, you know, bottoms up, like tops, whatever. There's the like, okay, this is my vision. But then there's also like, okay, this is what people need, finding a way to meet them in the middle.
I love that so much. How would you define your personal creative brilliance, aside from everything you just said? Because that's how I would define you.
It's funny because I wanted to go to school for photography. I consider myself a creative, but I never really made a career in anything specifically creative, you know? So with my first business, which was an eBay store, I cobbled together, okay, I'm creative at copywriting. I'm creative enough at photography. I was creative enough at a lot of things. I wasn't a star at any one thing, but it was those things that, you know, curation of people and clothes and employees and models and copywriting that all really created a brand. So I think for me, it's creating brands. And it's also just speaking from my experience and saying things that I believe, and I guess being vulnerable. But it's also like, that shouldn't be that brilliant, because I feel like everybody should be doing the same thing, right? Like, it's actually just easier. And maybe I'm just lazy to say what I'm thinking, because it seems like a lot of work to make things up or be premeditated. There's been many times where I want to be that person where I'm groomed and I'm ready to say the right things at a conference, and what comes out is just like whatever I'm actually thinking. And I guess that's creative.
It totally is.
It's like, it's marketing. I guess if you're going to like, you know, put it into some like narrow box, it's the brand, it's marketing, it's the voice, and all of those things are what contribute to building a great brand.
Yeah. I feel like being vulnerable is being brave, you know, going out on a stage at an event and saying what's really on your mind and not having it be this polished thing. It takes a lot more courage to be yourself because fear gets in the way. So a lot of people will mask what they really want to say because they're afraid of judgment and afraid of what people will really think of them. And you almost feel naked on stage when you're thinking and you're saying exactly what you're thinking and you're sharing your thoughts. And so I've been on panels where I'm like, should I respond with how I really feel about this? I'm like, yes, I owe it to everyone to say exactly what I'm feeling. Yeah. And I was at a conference and I was thinking, Brian was actually recording and I was looking at him and he was almost nodding to me. Like, he knew what I wanted to say in the conversation and he was just nodding to me. And I looked over, my brother and my sister-in-law were sitting there too. And they were like, you know, sometimes it takes other people to bring that out in you and say, hey, I can feel that you want to say something right now. Go for it. I have a quick question. When is the last time you took time for your skin? I never used to have a skin routine. I was lucky enough if I, you know, took my mascara off after a long day of working, let alone any self-care. Recently, I was asking on Instagram what everyone recommended, and across the board, you all said vitamin C needs to be part of my daily routine for brightening and glowing skin. So I was shopping at Target not long after that, and like I always do to wander the aisles and escape, and Bliss had this beautiful display that caught my eye, not only the bright colors and everything, but the branding. And so I went up and I looked, and I couldn't believe how affordable everything was. So I picked up the vitamin C, the Quench and Drench lotion, and the Clear and Genius toner and serum. When I got home, I was so excited when I looked at the ingredients too, because another tip that you all shared was to use something with hyaluronic acid. And the Bliss Quench and Drench lotion has four types of hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid helps retain moisture in our skin, creating a plumping effect. I also just learned that when the skin is protected and hydrated, increased skin cell production can take place because your skin isn't fighting for hydration. This leads to smoother and more supple skin. I fell in love with my new routine and reached out to their team, and here we are. They love you so much that they shared a special code for Live Beautifully listeners. When you go to blissworld.com, you get 15% savings with your code Katrina15. I will see you over there. You pioneered creating story and storytelling and story selling with e-commerce. So you didn't just put up pictures of something and expect it to sell. And so I feel the same way, where I don't know really how to use my Canon, but I have one and I kind of focus and I take a picture. And if you want to do classes in photography, I will totally do that with you, because I want to go back to school. And I just listened to something last night that you said that you wanted to maybe go back to school. I was like, I'll go with her. The two of us will do this together.
I would love to go back to school.
Me too. I feel like I would definitely want to do something in design, and I want to be able to get in and create things. And I don't know how sometimes, and that's where I struggle, but that's why I like to hire really great people who know better than I do.
Yes.
Sometimes you do want to create it yourself. There is an aspect of being able to see the whole picture, and instead of just putting something up on a website or putting something up to bring people to an event, you are able to illustrate exactly what she's going to feel just by the little bits and pieces and the details that you put into it. And that's one of the coolest things about you. So
thank you.
So I would love to know, and I'm sure everyone that is listening would love to know, what makes you spring out of bed, especially right now where it just, we feel like staying in bed all the time.
Yeah, I really do. I'm like, do I have COVID? I'm really sleepy. But then I think it's just like being at home all day, and
yeah.
Oh man, I could definitely be more active. I'm excited about what I'm doing. I'm figuring out what's next, but I'm doing a lot of research, and this is the first time in my life where I'm not like doing a startup. You know, I started Nasty Gal when I was 22. I did that for 10 years, did Girl Boss for 3 years. So really just thinking about how I can create the kind of lifestyle that I want. I've never really built my work around the lifestyle that I want. It's always been building a business, and then what my life looks like is completely dictated by that. So waking up is generally something I'm not very good at. That's been helping a lot. Going down the entrepreneurial rabbit hole without necessarily trying to start like a business. I also just watched a video by Mel Robbins, who's like an inspirational speaker. And she has this theory that's like, okay, something you don't want to do, you know, you just have to make a decision and give yourself 5 seconds. So 5, 4, 3, 2, all right, I'm out of bed. You know, so I try to kind of game it so that when I'm like, I really don't want to get up, I just count 5, 4, 3, 2. And I'm like, all right, I have to get up. And for some reason, that really works for me.
I'd be like 5, 4, 3, 2 and back to sleep.
Yeah, 10.
You say that you want to align your life with the lifestyle that you want. So what lifestyle do you want right now? Do you know?
Yeah, I really like being at home. I mean, I'm a total introvert. I've built big teams. I absolutely loved our team at Girl Boss. I enjoy building teams, but general management is really not my strength.
Me neither.
I've started like 2 businesses kind of behind a computer by myself. Girl Boss was a book I wrote by myself, right? And then, you know, Nasty Gal was this little eBay store. So I feel like I'm kind of going back to the beginning of how I did things when I first started my first business. You know, I want to be at home. I want to cook. Like, I want to close my laptop at the end of the day. I don't want a barrage of emails. I want to find a way to insulate myself from the craziness that, you know, could come. And I want to be really choosy about what I take on and how I spend my time. And also just, you know, with whatever I do next, like, I would love for it to be like big, but I don't want it to be like a big thing to manage. So if there or efficiencies I can find, or running a digital business or something that's running something remotely, finding ways to scale what I have to offer so that like it's not like every day everything's kind of manual. Conferences are, you know, content is. So, you know, how can I think about those things and create as many efficiencies as possible so that I can have an actual personal life and spend time with my family and my dogs and think about something that's not work for the first time in my life.
Yeah, I totally feel that. I feel like being home, I've never been home this long, and building Tone It Up for over 10 years. I think this time is teaching a lot of people, like, I want to do more. I need to spend more time with people. I need to get out. As soon as this is over, I need to get out. But for me too, I've realized this was my way in. This was my way into my life, where I'm like, wait, I really enjoy being home with family, and I enjoy just being here and not the chaos. I didn't know how much I was holding until I put it all down. And obviously we were forced to put it down. And I was like, wow, as calendar updates came, I couldn't believe what my schedule looked like even through the spring and summer. And, you know, I would get an alert that I was supposed to be in this city, in this place, and have all these things going on. And that even overwhelmed me. And I've had this gratitude of being healthy, of course, and our family being healthy and being home. And so I think I can't wait to be on the other side of this, so that way we can really choose what we say yes to and create the life that you really want.
Yeah.
So I love that. Do you feel your experience has formed you into a softer, more intentional, brave leader?
You know, I was hustling. I just did whatever needed to be done for the business. And I think I was a little bit, you know, once I started hiring people, I was like, if you don't walk as fast as me, like, why am I paying you? And for some of the early employees, I paid them more than I paid myself. And I thought everybody would work just the way I did. And I can be really blunt. So that kind of authenticity that's really kind of celebrated in a lot of ways on a conference stage was something that I didn't really understand as a leader. And I definitely didn't like temper my words with, you know, an understanding of how that might feel on the receiving end as an employee. I'd never worked in an office before, so I didn't understand, never been managed by anyone other than like someone who manages a shoe store. You know, it wasn't like career building. Like, nobody really led me. They were just like, you're late, you know, don't sit down. Like, hurry up or whatever. So it took me a really, really long time to empathize with my team, what people need to be successful, to give them the tools they need to work as autonomously as possible, to make decisions for themselves, to not just execute, but to do the thinking so that they can be proud of the work that they go and execute. Coaching people, bringing them up along the way. If something's not right, not just giving up on someone, but giving them an opportunity to improve. I would say all of those things are a little bit softer. Giving, you know, recognizing people. Praising them for their great work. It's easy to move so fast as a leader that you're just like, yeah, that's what you said you were going to do, rather than like, thank you so much. You've done such a great job, even though that's, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. Like, people really need to hear that stuff. So speaking into the listening that I know is in the room has become something I've gotten a lot better at. And yeah, I think I'm softer. You know, I ran like an edgy. I was like the edgy girl boss, right? Or nasty gal or whatever. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I just don't feel the need to kind of prove myself as this like rock and roll founder, like whatever I became as a caricature of the founder of Nasty Gal. And I can just kind of explore like who I'm becoming now and not feel the pressure to be fashion CEO or, you know, someone who's speaking on behalf of the women's movement. And, you know, it's all just very intimidating. And so I feel like the expectations of me are kind of like, okay, like whatever happens next is whatever happens next, rather than, okay, Sophia, we have this big thing we're projecting on you and you need to fill this role. And it feels a little bit freeing not to be in that position anymore.
Wow. And I feel that from you, even just with you talking and the times that we have spent together. I just feel like you have a very soft and genuine, like a pure heart that I'm not sure if anyone would assume that without talking with you. It's always been there. And I feel softer. I can't believe in our 20s how just the grind, you end up going through the motions of things that you kind of forget to check in with yourself too. And it seems like you're really checking in right here, which is really beautiful.
I'm trying. I can have a cold little heart. So
no,
I'm trying to keep it on the surface and not let it rescind into the recesses of my chest.
So speaking on that, you share so much, especially on LinkedIn with your personal newsletter. So how do you feel being a more vulnerable, softer you has helped you personally? Obviously, it's helping because people definitely feel really, really connected with you. And all these women are like, wow, that's how I felt. And oh, that's how she feels right now. Thank you for speaking on that. But how does it help you to be able to share your heart in the way that you have, especially in the last few months?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think processing things with other people's support is really important. I tend to be pretty confessional about the way I'm feeling at different points in my life, and that helps me, and I know it helps other people. You know, a newsletter recently that it's kind of imperative for us to tell our stories, that telling our stories makes other people feel less alone. Even if we feel like we're alone and we're the only person experiencing that, as soon as we externalize it, we can realize that one, maybe it's not as big of a deal as we thought it was. And two, that there are other people that are feeling the same way. And that's a brave thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. It's also something that I've been rewarded for and people appreciate from me. So it's a lot easier to do because I've been doing it for a long time. But in this phase of my life, not knowing, being in this place where I'm in transition and I don't really know what's next, it's been a really great way to process things. And it's the first time I've had like a personal newsletter. So I post them on LinkedIn, but then I have a newsletter that you can sign up for on my website. So having this like direct relationship with people who like opted in to hear what I have to say rather than like broadcasting things, hoping the algorithm picks up on it, hoping that, you know, people pay attention, it's received the right way. It feels like a much more intimate conversation with a newsletter than I've had on social and other places that I've connected with people.
I feel there's a sensitivity that you have as a leader. And I think that we do need to have that sensitivity, like you were saying, with employees and people that we're working with, and then also with ourselves and patience and grace. But then you also build up like a tough skin. I personally feel like I have such a tough skin now, if that's the right way to say that, where nothing really surprises me anymore. I'm kind of numb to things that used to shock me, where I was like completely blindsided by something maybe even 6 years ago. Today, I'd be like, oh, yeah. But then I feel really sensitive and soft to my purpose and people and women within communities and women that have followed me personally. And I see that in you, and I see that in the way that you write. And it's really neat to see your personal newsletter. It's like a journal. It's like you're journaling to everyone. So
yeah, thanks. And I agree with you. It's like once you've been through like entrepreneurial hell, it sucks, but it's also like a rite of passage. And then once you keep going, you're like, all right, this doesn't matter. Okay, I messed up and people will forget about it. Like, we always move on.
Yeah.
And even when we make mistakes, you know, people can be very forgiving, even if initially, like, it feels like the end of your life or the end of your career. Oh my God, I'm damaged goods, or nobody's ever going to care about what I have to say again. Or this thing that happened in my business is like, we'll never recover. It's like, nothing is really final. You know, we always move on, and I project myself into this like, okay, a year from now, when I've processed this, I'll just be like, haha, you know, that was a really hard time, but like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So when I'm having a hard time, I try to think about how I'll feel a year from now and have some perspective from the place I'm in today.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go into that a little bit, because you just said a lot. And so you have felt all those things before. And you have come out of it. So looking back, are you grateful for the times that have been really, really tough in your career? Or would you actually go back and change them?
I mean, I would have loved to pull off Nasty Gal, like in a way where I sold the company for a lot of money and I had opportunities to do that. And that's a long story. And that's a whole nother book. Oh my God. I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't have the perspective that I have now. You know, had I become a bazillionaire from Nasty Gal, like who would I be? What kind of weirdo would I be? Like what kind of people would I be hanging out with? Like how meaningful would any of that be? Like how many infinity pools can you sit by? It's just kind of like once you've had a taste of that, it's like, you know that it doesn't matter. It's hard to know that when you're in the middle of it and the whole world's celebrating you and you have like all this amazing shit. And then once it wasn't like all taken away from me, but because I didn't continue like on that path, you know, I feel like a lot more connected to my life and who I am and to what matters, and not shop the way I used to shop, and just like don't care about things that are as superficial as I used to. And I'm really grateful that life kind of handed me that, as hard as it was, because it felt like something was being taken away. What was given back to me was something a lot more meaningful.
Oh my God.
Understand your own motivations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't think I knew my own motivation for a while. You become, in a weird way, really, really selfless. And even though on the outside, it doesn't look that way because you're powering through things. And as a businesswoman, you're go, 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 but you really aren't thinking about yourself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to take a step back to really be a little selfish in the most positive, mm-hmm. amazing way. So you've been successfully building businesses for the past 14 years, along with creating books, podcasts, and Netflix series, which I did watch, which was amazing. And I watched it with my husband. What's your advice to someone who wants to start a new chapter tomorrow? Maybe they feel like it's too late for them. Maybe they're late 20s, maybe they're in their 30s, maybe they're in their 40s or older. Like, what does a new chapter look like? What do you tell her?
Yeah, it's never too late, but also life forces that upon us. Like, some of us are thinking about a new chapter, and then some of us are just like handed a new chapter. And that can be very scary because we hope that we're able to make decisions in our lives where we choose when there's a new chapter. But that's not always the case. I think we should all have new chapters. I think it's dangerous if we all live in the same chapter. Like, the whole idea is that there's a book, right? And I kind of think about my life as a book because, well, one, I'd like to write another book, and hopefully that book will be entertaining. And it's only entertaining if there's ups and downs and drama, and I sign up for things that are really risky, and they may or may not work out. They don't all work out, but knowing that as we, you know, enter new chapters, that gives us an opportunity to look back at our life when we're 60 years old and be like, oh my God, that was crazy. You know, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe I signed up for that. I took big risks and I made a big life. I think that's kind of like why we're here. Entering new phases in our lives is as, you know, critical as staying alive. Like, we should be doing that, and it's necessary for our growth. I don't learn anything from, like, you know, things staying the same way. I don't learn anything from my life not changing. I learn things when things change.
Yeah. And that's such a good point too, where sometimes, or most of the time, that new chapter, it wasn't your choice to even flip the page. It just, you land in this new place and you have to look at your life and look at what motivates you and what you want. And I guess that leads me to a question that probably a lot of people have. What is the next chapter for you?
I really want to share what I know. So I know that I'm at a phase in my career where I've been celebrating and talking about myself and my story. And of course, that's always going to be part of what I have to share, because what I've learned is rooted in my experience. But I'm at a place in my life where, oh my God, I've been through so much and I've learned so much and I've done a lot right and I've done just as much wrong. And there's a lot of people out there that are starting businesses or in the middle of their businesses or going through a divorce or, oh my God, so many things that, like, I've endured that I, you know, that I've navigated and that I want to help people navigate. And, you know, that's what I'm doing with the newsletter. And I try to do that, you know, everywhere that I talk to my community, but finding more ways to do that, you know, it's like, that's all I really want to do. It's like so easy to do because it's just all right there in my head, and helping other people achieve what they want is such a gratifying thing. So that's really what I'm thinking about doing. Like, how exactly it's going to happen, I don't know, but I have a lot of ideas.
Sometimes we don't realize how much experience we have, especially from the things that have knocked us mm-hmm. down. Sometimes we think we need to go to someone that only has positive success. It's like, I wish that I had a mentor. Looking back, I wish that I had someone like you 10 years ago to look up to. And learning everything on your own is, it's really, really lonely. And being an entrepreneur is very lonely, and you go through those lessons on your own. And so having someone like you is absolutely brilliant and amazing. And I was recently asked to go speak at a mastermind, and I was like, ooh, what's a mastermind? Yeah, no. So I went, and I was like, what do I have to offer? I actually cried on the way down there because I was like, what am I? I was like, what? I just got so nervous and I was so overwhelmed in my own life. And I was kind of in my own, pardon my language, just shit storm. And my husband was driving me down. He's like, you have so much to offer. And every single person at this dinner table, it was probably about 15 women, asked a question or they were going through something. And I could identify with every single person at the table. And I felt like I could offer them something. And even though it was like a little bit, I felt so much fulfillment even from that one dinner that I do feel like that is your calling. And it'll go from dinners to this and a lot of things. I mean, every day, or even you could choose to just do it once a week and you'll have such a huge impact with everything that you have to offer.
Excited.
So what does living beautifully look like for you? What does it mean to you?
For me, it's like, it's not about luxury, but it's about having things that like you really care about and that like you want to be around, whether it's people or things, or like for me, it's like soft things or velvet or leather or like just like visceral things. Things about being intentional with your life, with what it is that you do and spend your time doing and who you spend it around and the environment you spend it in, because we have control. Most of us have control over those things. And it's easy to feel like we don't, or, okay, we're on this path in life and well, that's it. That's that. Like, that's who I am. That's what I'm doing. And so I think what's beautiful is really being in choice and waking up every day and like re-choosing the life that we have, rather than it being kind of something that's happening to us because, well, we did made that decision years ago and this is who I am, or this is what my life looks like. I think it's about being brave and having nice, beautiful things that you love.
Okay. Where can everyone find you and connect with you? I know where to find you, but I think that everyone here would love to know.
Well, you can find me in my house for the indefinite future. But I'm on Instagram, Sophia, at Sophia Amoruso. It's A-M-O-R-U-S-O. I have a newsletter you can sign up for on my website. It's sophiaamoruso.com. That's where I spend most of my time online. So not doing a podcast right now. Might do another one soon. But yeah, that's where you can find me. And if there's ever a new place you can find me, you can hear about it there.
Yeah, we'll make sure to include everything. I feel like photography lessons might be in our future together.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just do it. I know a really great course, actually. I'll send it to you. And maybe some new hobbies we can do together.
Yeah, hobbies. I need a hobby.
Someone asked me the other day, they're like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? Like, I don't really know. I had a hard time thinking about, because I just go from work to obviously being a mom, and I think I'm an okay wife. It's just, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. That's enough. I think we're all supposed to like take up painting or learn a new language. And I would love to be that person. Maybe I will be at some point and we can trade hobby tips. But for now, life is enough.
It really is. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today. I love talking with you and I'm excited for your new chapter.
Me too. Congratulations on your new show. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram at Katrina Scott. Also, for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.